听力课堂，听 class.com。
Hi, friends. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to study English with Studio Classroom. My name is Steve. If you've ever stepped into the world of antiques, even if just briefly, you know how overwhelming it can be. There are billions of objects in this world that are over 100 years old. So, what makes something valuable and something else junk? To help clear up some confusion, Studio Classroom talked to Faye Angevine about antiques, especially antique furniture. Since 1976, Angevine has owned and operated Bai Win Antique Company, Taipei's oldest antique showroom. Now let's ask Mrs. Angevine our third question on page 25.
The Wonderful World of Antiques.
How do you know you are getting a good price?
Since there really are no standard prices for antiques, it all depends on what the buyer thinks an item is worth.
How do you know if you are getting an antique, a reconstruction, or a reproduction?
A lot of it comes down to using logic. 100 years ago, people made things with hand tools, so antiques rarely have a perfect machine finish. They also used the same type of wood for the entire piece, so checking for consistent wood grain and color is important.
Hi friends, I'm Chip.
And I'm Chelsea, and we are here to learn more from our expert, Faye Angevine, on the wonderful world of antiques today. Now, yesterday we learned that when understanding antiques, there are a few different words to know. Those words are antique, reconstruction, and reproduction. And we know that all three of those are good options if you're looking for an antique. Some of them are higher quality than others, and they are always very unique because back when people were making these items, they were not mass-produced. So today we have a handful of other questions we want to ask Faye in hopes of learning more about the wonderful world of antiques from her.
Okay, and the first question that we ask Faye today is, how do you know you are getting a good price? Yesterday, we asked what an antique costs. And of course, Faye explained that it depends on a number of different factors. Well, how do you know that you're getting a fair and a good price on the antique that you're wanting?
Well, she kind of reviews what she said yesterday. She says, since there really are no standard prices for antiques, it all depends on what the buyer thinks an item is worth. I think this is a good answer to this question. Again, yesterday we learned that there are a number of factors that can determine how much an item is worth, but really what it comes down to is what the person buying is really looking for. Does that person think it's worth it?
Right. How much does the buyer think that that item is worth? And this is really interesting. I think this makes the idea of shopping for antiques a little difficult. I think you really need to know a lot about antiques before you can really make a judgment on if this price is a good price or not.
And that makes a good point. Maybe if you don't know much about antiques, but you would like to start buying antiques, take someone along with you who knows something about the worth and the quality of what you're buying. Well, let's continue with our next question. We ask Faye, how do you know if you are getting an antique, a reconstruction, or a reproduction. Now, there are those three words again that we explained yesterday. We know that they're all very similar and yet all very different in the same way. So, Chip, what is Faye's answer?
Well, she says that it all comes down, or a lot of it comes down, to using logic. Now, when we use logic, we're using reason, and we're using a way of thinking where you're talking about, where you're using if-then statements. So, if something, then probably or necessarily something else. So, your math, for example, uses a lot of logic. And she says it uses a lot of logic. It uses a lot of this kind of thinking where you're using common sense. Now, that's actually our grammar on the go sentence that it comes down to using logic. So let's see what Liz has to say about it.
Hi there, friends. Greetings from Brussels, Belgium. My name is Liz, and it's time for Grammar on the Go. So what am I doing here in Brussels? Well, our article today is about shopping for antiques. And when it comes to shopping for antiques, did you know that there's a famous antique fair here in Brussels? I'm sure it'll be very interesting, and I think it'll be a great place to go visit. But before I head over there, let's take a look at today's grammar tip sentence. A lot of it comes down to using logic. Today, our focus will be on the idiom to come down to. It just means be basically about. So today's sentence just means a lot of it is basically about using logic. This idiom is most often used in conversations or speaking situations. So if you are talking about a subject that may seem complicated to others, but you want to bring attention to what the subject is really about, try using this idiom. For example, whether a person succeeds or not comes down to one's attitude. Or, although the magic trick may look impossible, it all comes down to how fast your fingers move. Now, if you have your Studio Classroom magazine with you, please turn to today's grammar tip section for more example sentences. That's it for today. I hope to see you again next time. Until then, this is Liz with Grammar on the Go, signing off in Brussels, Belgium. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Liz. So it really comes down to using logic to determine whether you're getting an antique, a reconstruction, or a reproduction. Faye tells us that 100 years ago, people made things with hand tools, so antiques rarely have a perfect machine finish. Now, a finish describes kind of the surface of that object. It might have a very shiny finish, or we might say it has a distressed finish. That means that it is very rough looking. And because people made things by hand, they never had a perfect or flawless finish like they do today. If you go to the store to buy a piece of furniture, you want a piece of furniture that has no nicks in it, no scratches. But if you buy an antique, it's not going to have a perfect finish.
Okay, so if you're looking at an item and it looks pretty perfect, then there's a good chance that that maybe wasn't created 100 years ago. And maybe it was created by a machine. Well, they also, 100 years ago, used the same type of wood for the entire piece. So checking for consistent wood grain and, I suppose, consistent color is important. Now, when we're talking about consistent, when we're using this word consistent, we're talking about happening in the same way, happening in a way where it doesn't change. So if we're looking for consistent wood grain, what does that mean, Chelsea?
Well, the wood grain is the texture in the wood that has been produced by the fibers that are in the wood. And so if you're looking for an antique, you can look for a consistent wood grain. That means, does it look like it was made out of the same type of wood? Well, right now we have another interview with Faye for you to watch, and then we're going to take a break, but we'll be back to wrap up this interview.
I'm here again today with Faye Angevine of the Bywin Antique Company. Faye, it was great having you on the show yesterday. We're glad to have you here again today. Can you tell me, where is the strangest place that you found an antique?
Woo! Very difficult question. Actually, I have several very unusual places. The first one that comes immediately to mind is the Lin House in Wufeng. And I actually purchased a coin chest bench, which is very unusual, from the guard of the, at the guardhouse. And the bench had belonged to the family for 150 years, but he wanted a nice new modern bench, so I traded him. I bought him a new bench or bed, and he gave me the camphorwood coin chest bench. Another interesting experience I had was with a temple in Dashi, in my very early days of the antique business. And the temple had decided to move the center, their center worship room, to another area. And so they were moving the furniture, and I loved the furniture. And I asked them, can I buy these two chairs and table? And so, you know, after talking to the monks, they decided, okay, I offered the right price. But that was during a time in Taiwan when people were no longer interested in the antiques. And so they were ridding themselves of the old pieces to buy new.
Have you ever seen something you thought was junk, but it turned out to be a treasure?
You know, Simon, that actually happens to dealers quite often. We find pieces we think are antiques as well that turn out to be junk. But I would say the one time in which I found a piece, the dealers didn't really understand what they had. It was a Han Tiger, an early ceramic from the Han period, of biscuit glaze, very dark clay, no paintings on it. And before they'd actually removed it from the carton, I saw the head and I thought, that's a good piece. And I said, I'll buy it. And so they sold me the piece at a very, very reasonable price. And when I got it back and had it appraised, it was worth much, much more than I had paid for it. I was a very lucky person that day.
Faye, thank you so much for coming on Studio Classroom and telling us about antiques.
Well, Simon, thank you for inviting me. And I hope that everyone has learned something from our discussions and will know more about antiques as well as how to restore them. I really enjoyed talking to you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Okay, we're back from the break. Interestingly, there have been many television shows about antique experts traveling around the world looking at old stuff people find in their attics, closets, and basements. Much of it, as you would guess, is worthless. But there are occasions when an object is brought in and it's found to be worth a lot of money. So you never know. Without knowing it, you might have a valuable antique in your home right now. Okay, before the break, our expert was giving tips on how to tell a real antique from a fake. Let's continue with her explanation on line 22.
The wonderful world of antiques. The use of different woods in a reconstructed or reproduced piece is often hidden by paint. Construction techniques were also different in the past. People frequently used joints instead of nails. Real antiques always show evidence of restoration, like tightened joints and refinishing.
Do you have any advice for people who are interested in buying antiques?
Get to know your antique dealer. Talk to people who have bought antiques, read some reference books, and ask a lot of questions. Take time to study the piece you are interested in, and don't be in a hurry to buy.
Welcome back. Well, before the break, we were talking to Faye about how you can tell if you're looking at an antique, a reproduction, or a reconstruction. She said that you need to look for consistent wood grain. So look at the lines in the wood and make sure that those are the same throughout the entire piece. And why is this, Chelsea?
Well, because that shows that it is an actual antique because of the way things were handmade with one type of wood back when these would have been constructed, as opposed to how they're made today. It's a little bit different. She goes on to explain that further by saying that the use of different woods in a reconstructed or a reproduced piece is often hidden by paint. So today when things are made, there are often different types of woods that are put into them, or if an antique is being reconstructed, they might need to use a different type of wood to add on to it to make it look better. And so that's different than an antique that would have the same type of wood and therefore have the same wood grain showing up on that piece.
Okay, and she mentions that paint might be able to hide some of those places in the piece that have been altered or changed. And as we saw from yesterday, that makes a big difference, because that is the difference between either an antique, which has been changed less than 33%, or a reconstruction, which has been changed more than 33%. So you'll want to keep that in mind.
Wow, I feel like I'm ready to go shopping for these things. Now I'm learning so much today. Well, let's continue. It goes on to say that construction techniques were also different in the past. And when we're talking about construction, we're talking about the way that something is built. And obviously in the past, they would have used different techniques than we do today. Remember, we use machines today to build things very quickly. But people back then frequently used joints instead of nails. Now, we all know what a nail is, I think, but Chip, here we're talking about how in the past people used joints when they were constructing something.
Right, and really whenever we talk about a joint, we're talking about two pieces fitting together or coming together to form one kind of continuous piece. Now, here, instead of using nails, these kinds of joints that they would have used would have been joints that lock two pieces together. So they would have been two pieces of probably wood that fit together, kind of like two pieces in a puzzle. And those fit and lock together without the use of nails or without glue.
Very interesting. Well, let's continue. Real antiques always show evidence of restoration, or they show one or more reasons for believing that something is or is not true. I know we've talked about that word evidence before. So real antiques always show evidence of restoration, like tightened joints and refinishing. So these are different ways that you can tell whether or not you're getting an antique, a reconstruction, or a reproduction. You just really have to use logic when you go to shop for one of these items and look at the piece that you're buying, and you can really tell by looking at the piece what you're getting.
Right. You'll want to look for that evidence. Well, SC has one more question in our article for Faye. And we ask Faye, do you have any advice, any tips for people who are interested in buying antiques? And she says, you need to get to know your antique dealer. And your dealer is a person who sells and trades, who buys and sells things for a living. So kind of a salesman. So get to know your antique dealer.
In addition, talk to people who have bought antiques. Read some reference books and ask a lot of questions. Now, a reference book is a book of facts, such as a dictionary or maybe an encyclopedia. We think of those books as reference books. And you can look at it and discover particular information. And in this case, you're going to be reading reference books about antiques. But overall, just take time to study the piece you are interested in, and don't be in a hurry to buy. Take your time. Well, we hope that you learned a lot from us today. Thanks to Faye for sharing her expertise with us. We'll see you next time here on Studio Classroom, but first, let's visit the chat room.
Hi, Ashley. I need to make a copy of my passport. Do you have a copy machine here?
Yes, we do. The duplication costs are 50 cents per sheet. How many duplicates do you need?
Excuse me, did you say duplicates?
Yes, I did.
What does that mean?
When you duplicate something, you reproduce it. And duplication costs are how much it costs to make a copy of something.
Reproduce it? Hey, I thought reproduce only referred to antiques.
It does, and it has a few more meanings. You know, Doris is online, and I'm sure she could tell us more.
Okay.
If you make a copy of a document or a picture, you are reproducing it. The verb produce means to make something. And when you add the prefix RE, that means you want to produce it again. When you purchase a copy of a painting, you are buying a reproduction.
So, Ashley, any time I hear the word reproduce, I can remember that it is a copy of something?
Well, yes and no. In biology, reproduction refers to the process of having babies. Animals and people reproduce, so they are making duplicates of themselves in a way.
Now, you pronounced duplicate differently just a moment ago.
That's because the noun and verb are pronounced differently. The noun is pronounced like a short I, duplicate.
So if I have a copy of a photograph, then I have a duplicate?
Right. But if you duplicate that photograph, then you are using the verb.
And you would pronounce it with a long A, duplicate.
Right. And speaking of duplicate, let me make a duplicate of your passport for you.
Oh, thanks a lot. 注意这个字的发音 duplicate 当作动词要读作 duplicate 就是复制 当作名词要读 duplicate 就是复制品 另一个字呢是 reproduce reproduce 有诸多的含义 它可以指复制 再生 也可以指生物的繁殖 若是你买不起一幅名画 你可以买它的 reproduction 就是一个翻译的版本 好，一起来看今天的 language tips
嗨，大家好，我是 Michelle。首先，我们看的是 logic 这个不可数的名词。Logic 是指逻辑或者是逻辑学。例如，the theory's logic is easy to understand。这个原理的逻辑很容易了解。或者是，it's hard for me to accept the logic behind his argument。要我接受他论点背后的逻辑实在很困难。Logic 也指合理或者是合乎逻辑的想法。 例如, there's no logic in sacrificing your health just to make money. 只是为了赚钱而牺牲自己的健康实在不合逻辑。继续我们看的是 finish 这个名词。 finish 本来是指终结或结束, 但是在这里 finish 是指木头制品完成时的抛光或者是上了漆的表面。例如, the polish gives the coffee table a shiny finish. 这个擦拭剂让咖啡桌有很光亮的表面。或者是, The rustic finish of the bench gives it a special charm. 这个长凳粗犷的表面让它增添了一种特殊的美感。最后我们看的是 consistent 这个形容词。 Consistent 是指一致的或者是前后一致的。例如, There has been consistent growth in our company's sales. 我们公司的销售一直都有一致性的成长。如果要说明是与某个对象是一致的话，是用 with 这个介系词。 例如, the witness's description is consistent with the police's record. 证人的叙述跟警方的记录是一致的。And we're running out of time. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Wonderful World of Antiques.
How do you know you are getting a good price?
Since there really are no standard prices for antiques, it all depends on what the buyer thinks an item is worth.
How do you know if you are getting an antique, a reconstruction, or a reproduction?
A lot of it comes down to using logic. 100 years ago, people made things with hand tools, so antiques rarely have a perfect machine finish. They also used the same type of wood for the entire piece, so checking for consistent wood grain and color is important. The use of different woods in a reconstructed or reproduced piece is often hidden by paint. Construction techniques were also different in the past. People frequently used joints instead of nails. Real antiques always show evidence of restoration, like tightened joints and refinishing.
Do you have any advice for people who are interested in buying antiques?
Get to know your antique dealer. Talk to people who have bought antiques, read some reference books, and ask a lot of questions. Take time to study the piece you are interested in and don't be in a hurry to buy.
Cairo Arrival, Chapter 7. From our previous episode, although she couldn't see the pyramids nor the Great Nile River from her window, she had a spectacular view while approaching Cairo International Airport. Flying over Greece and the numerous islands that dotted the Mediterranean seascape was lovely, but as the plane circled the city upon their descent, she caught a glimpse of the vast desert surrounding the river. She just couldn't help but marvel at the importance of the Nile. Millions and millions of people lived along the banks that gave life. Dusk was beginning to settle over the city, turning the city from dusty brown yellow into a haze of glorious purple, crimson, and violet. Despite the events of the day, looking over the city rejuvenated her sense of awe, romance, and intrigue that brooded over this land. She drew in a deep breath and let out a sigh.
You know, Kate, sitting in this room with the air conditioning, looking out at this majestic sight, it doesn't seem so bad now.
What's that?
Oh, you mean the events of the day. It is good to have a refuge, a place that is safe and secure. And I'm really looking forward to dinner tonight. Have you ever done one of those river dinner tours before?
No, but Mr. Baxton says they are fabulous. He's also very excited to meet your father.
Speaking of which, we'd better get going or we'll be late. Were we meeting them at the river or were they coming here?
We were supposed to meet them there. I've got the address. Jen, look at this. It's from your dad.
Jenny's heart sank as she read the text message.
Jen, be careful. Very concerned. Confirmed ID from license Kate sent us. Not good. Need to talk to you right away. You may be in danger. See you at dinner, Dad.
Thank you, this month's antique expert, Faye Angevine, for taking the time to share her expertise with us and for helping us answer some important questions. I think Faye Angevine's last bit of advice was spot on. If you're interested in buying, selling, or collecting antiques, do your homework. The more you know, the more you'll be able to recognize a real antique and determine its value. Friends, please come back tomorrow as we begin a new lesson about wearing oil on your face. Have a great Tuesday.